Okay, Rabbi Yisai, tonight we're going to be discussing an exceedingly important topic, and it's really there's a hashkafa behind it. There's a principle behind it, which I find absolutely fascinating. There's really what to be thought about, thought through, and discussed, and really to be explored. There is the concept of mechzik yehura. So in other words, we normally think our general approach is, you know, when we want to do mitzvahs, we want to do additional parts of mitzvahs, we want to do chumras, we want to go with sfeikas, the general approach is the more the better, the more whatever you can do, it's a kvod shamayim, it's a mitzvah, you're doing more of the Ratzon Hashem. But it's not necessarily true. This approach and this attitude is not necessarily true. There is a concept which we're going to encounter here that is actually contradicting that. It actually goes completely, totally against this concept. And that is the concept of mechzik yehura. You cannot necessarily do all the chumras that you fancy. You cannot necessarily go all the stringencies that you just feel like doing. You can't just go with random opinions, stamp, because you feel like doing it. It doesn't go. Question is, why not? Why not? Why do we Takan always say, okay, there's this opinion which is the main halacha, there's that opinion which is the secondary halacha, it's a stringency, might as well just do that. Why not? So the concept we are encountering tonight is the concept of mechze kiyure. It looks like you are being kiyure, like gaiva. Mechze, it appears like, it looks like you're doing something which is not for your standard. It's a bit like moshel madavdom. It's a poor moshel, I appreciate, but it's a bit of somebody that is very, very poor, and he drives this extravagant, it's a gaiva. You're not up to that level. Who am I trying to fool? You're not up to that standard. You're not there yet. You keep solid to the basics. You do everything right. Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, do the basics. Once you're done that, you're solidified that, you're good with that, then you can take on chumras. But before you are there, you can't. So it's a concept of, so now we are going to be seeing now, because we discussed yesterday, we learned explicitly that there is, in terms of Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, what's the halacha? Machlok is Rashi Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So we discussed yesterday. Now, although the halacha really is that we pass it like Rashi, and that's the way we put on Tefillin, the way the batim are placed and done like Rashi, nevertheless, there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. And Shulchan Aruch and Seif Beis taught us, Yireh Shemayim should fulfill both opinions. Seif Gimel says, let's read the words. So that's Simon, Lamet, Dalet, Seif Gimel, Oyasekein, Elamisha Muchzek, Umefusim Bechsidus. Do not. So yesterday we discussed these three approaches to do Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Either option number one was Yad Yad. You put on Rashi and then Rabbeinu Tam on Yad. And then afterwards you put Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam of Rosh. Option number one. Option number two was you put Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. But either way, according to option one, option two, you're wearing both tefillin simultaneously. Option number three, which is, I suppose, the most common approach, is you put on Rabbeinu Tam, you take them off. Second part of davening, you put on Rabbeinu Tam, and you take them off. But either way, this, whichever approach you go for, approach one, approach two, approach three, either way, you're wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Shulchan Aruch says, lo yasekein lo mishumuch segem afusim b'chassidus. Only do that if you are what? You should be muchzik, established, umefosim, well known, bechsidus, with chassidus. What does chassidus mean in this concept? Piety, yeah. So chassidus over here has obviously nothing to do with chassidim. Chassidus has, although chassidim are, of course they are, but I'm just saying that it means over here, chassidus is a concept of somebody who does more than the required, and he does take upon himself on a regular basis, consistently, all across Shulchan Aruch, he takes stringency upon himself. then it makes sense to take this Chumrah as well. Otherwise, do not. But why do not? Do not. Yes, do not. Because it's Mechsa Kiyua. Who may try to fool? You know, it's like if you try...
You're saying progress is making small steps.
Yeah, I suppose that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah, yeah.
But if I don't try, how am I going to get to that?
Small steps.
How do you get there? So,
to
get to that, no. So, Shulchan Aruch, very good question. It's a really good question. No, according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not the way. So, it's not the way to get there by doing exceedingly pious and actions. Is not the way to do it. So first, you confidently master the basics confidently, without any loopholes, without any cheatings, without any sfeikas. Once that's solid, then you can slowly and gradually do the rest. But that is only at that point, actually, chassidus makes sense. It's fascinating because we sometimes act not in line with this. And sometimes, for good reason as well, we want to take chumras here, we want to take chumras there. It's not necessarily right. If you're not up to that level, then don't do that. Can't skip, how nice. Psh. Wow, very nice. Did you notice that? The Simon Lamed Dalet, Seif Gimel, is like Le Dalek. To skip, you can't skip. Very nice. Wow, very good. Very, very good. Yeah, they often interpret the place of the Seif and Simonim. That's very nice.
Why do we say this in all the other areas of halakha where we go way above the Ikaridin, like Hanukkah?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So when do we actually... It's a good question. When do we say, yeah, okay, this chumrah makes sense, you have got sofik deraisa? Yeah, it's a really good question that. Sometimes we say, you've got sofik deraisa, you've got to be machmir. It's also sofik deraisa, you want to be machmir. So, and when do we say, like here? No, it makes it cure, don't do the stringency. So I believe the answer, which I'm not sure that's the answer. I have two potential answers. One answer potentially is... two answers, and I think both partially right. One answer that over here with Tefillin, there's one particularly strong side issue over here. There's one particular reason why you shouldn't be taking the stringency, which is, we did mention it yesterday, what's potentially a problem with putting on two sets of Tefillin? There's potentially, we're touching on Baltosif questions over here. So you think it's a stringency? Actually, you may be lenient over here. There's an aspect, there's an inch of leniency over here. Because Baal Tosef, you know, Baal Tosef. You're touching on Baal Tosef. Point number one. Point number two, there is, when it comes to chumras and stringencies, the rule of thumb is, do it privately. As soon as something very open and something very public, there's a very, very strong shalol shamayim to me. So a person generally, when you want to take chumras, when you turn stringencies, do them in private and not in public. This is a very, very public statement over here. You're making a point. I am very, very, you should know, everybody, I am very firm. You should know. Look, I'm putting on tefillin. Look what I'm doing. I am very, very, it reminds me, and I must have mentioned it previously, a person that I know very well. He was, I must have mentioned it, when we learned the halachas of left-handed Yidden. So he put on, it was a chassid sheyid, so he put on, but he was a sofik left-handed, so he put on normal tefillin, and then he had another set of tefillin because he was sofik left-handed, so he had two pairs of sheliyad, because he was perhaps left-handed, perhaps right-handed, but besides that, it was also Rabbeinu Tam. So he's got three sets of three tefillin every day. But plus, because it was Rabbeinu Tam and it was a machmir, he put on also sofik left-handed. So every single day, he put on four tefillin. Right hand, left hand, Rabbeinu Tam, right, Rabbeinu Tam, left. But that, it took him a whole thing. He regretted it after a while. He regretted it because he said, you know, he comes like, you know, he doesn't...
He can't know simultaneously.
Mr. Breakfast. No, he did it during Seder. That's the part of the thing. So it just comes to a point that. But it was like a statement. You know, I've got all the stringencies on me. I've got a stringency that I have to land up in a time. Blah, blah, blah. So it comes. So that defeats the purpose. Stringencies, but you do the burnish leilam. Stringency not for. And that reminds me. We're going to see the Mishnah in a minute. But I want to just point out something which I frequently think about. There's the most exceptionally beautiful letter written. It's an exceptional, beautifully worded letter that one of Rabbi Kveiger's grandchildren, Rabbi Lebel Eiger's son, asked Rabbi Shimon Sofer, an uncle of his, please, he was very old by then. Rabbi Shimon Sofer was the Rav of Krakow, and he was a son of the Chassam Sofer, and a grandson of Rabbi Kveiger. So imagine that. He was a godly in his own right, Rabbi Shimon Sofer, the Rav of Matastov. He was a son of the Holy Chassam Sofer, and he was a grandson of Rabbi Kveiger. And he was asked by a nephew, please, uncle, can you describe to us a little bit the minhagim, the customs, the traditions of your grandfather, of your father and your grandfather? And he writes there, he says, I want to tell you something. I can describe to you some points, and I will. But you should know that whatever he did in private. All the stringencies, he was in private. You think that he was davening like a malach, jumping? No, he davened like a, that's a discretion. Description, he's davened like a farmer. Simple, you wouldn't notice a thing. He had all the kavanas and all the things, but he was like a simple yid. And his davening and his learning and his mitzvahs, everything was done with such fine, such pren, but hardly noticeable for anybody. Anybody would see him, he would see what he was keeping Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. But you wouldn't see like fireworks, because all the chumras and the fireworks, that's in private. This is a beautiful description. Shimon Sofer describes grandfather and grandfather, because that's what Gedolim do. So therefore, what was your question again? Your question was, when do we say, what was it again?
In certain areas of halacha, we do seem to go in the chumrah.
What's the chumrah in what's the right? We do more with the Manhadrin and Manhadrin, yeah, which is interesting. So I think that the answer in that particular case is that you see, when it comes to there is over here a question about Tosif. There's no question about Tosif. By any account, there's no question about Tosif. But over here, by putting on both Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, you're touching about Tosif. Let us see Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Tezayin. So Mishnah Berurah says, so we're saying that a person should only put on Rabbeinu Tam if he's muchzek or mefosim b'chassidus. Hainu says Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Tezayin. Afilu im yirtzel anichom rak achat fele, even if you do option number three, which is the end part of davening, option number three discussed yesterday, nevertheless, you should not do it unless you are really holding by that stage. Because of a behetiv beish echot, you know, ganiach tefillin rabbeinu tam lachat tefillin befahesi befnei akol. There was a person that put on rabbeinu tam tefillin in front of the community. He mechzik yura, and was it really mechzik yura? Pasuk b'tshuvas marash alevi, the mechzik yura. Yes, it is mechzik yura. It's shivatel minogoy. And in one particular place where he was not up to that religious standard. It was a simple yid, simple normal yid, and he started putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And the Rav told him, forget it. Go home. What are you doing here? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. That's what the Behetiv says. Who do you think you are to put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? Yeah, don't put it. Tzorich shevatel minogoy. You must stop your minig. See, that is a good question. I don't know. Perhaps if he closes the shutter, switches off the light, he makes sure there's no CCTV, quickly at home puts on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, perhaps that's okay. But as long as people see it, it's wrong.
You said every 13-year-old.
Yes. So you're very good. I'll get to that in a minute. Remind me. I want to speak about that. He says, that's what he says. If a person puts in front of an Adam Godel, you are the Rav of the Shul, the Dayan, the Rab, he doesn't put it on, and you're putting on Tfilin, Rabbeinu Tam, that's certainly wrong. Normal balabos, putting up in the town, putting in front of the Rav, who doesn't? That's completely wrong, completely off. So Gartel is actually, Shulchan Aruch says one should have, Gartel is something which is actually, we're going to learn that when we get to Hilchas Tefillah later. Gartel is a real justification. In fact, it's a question why we don't. Gartel is more than anything else, is really a question. In Sifkot Yud Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Bechsidas kiven sha'olam noyagin kirash nira kiura mishechoy sheish lehach melatzum b'zeim einu muchzik shmach melatzum gam ken b'shar dvorim." The last three words of the Mishnah Berurah are the key words over here. Gam ken b'shar dvorim. So it's got to be consistent. Gam came b'shar dvarim. If a person takes stringency right across, then perhaps that answers your question as well a little bit. If a person has got stringency which is right across the spectrum, then fine, Rabbeinu Tam comes into it. So, in other words, it makes what's wrong about this is that a person just chooses Rabbeinu Tam. But when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, he finds leniencies right, left, and center. When it comes to Hechsherim, he's always going to pick the ones that is in line with his food and dietary preferences. And when it comes to Ilchas, you know, Nida is also always going to seek the most lenient opinion. And when it comes to always a lenient opinion. But when it comes to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a part of, then I'm putting on Rabbeinu Tam. That's wrong. Your person needs to be consistent. You're consistent. If you're up to that standard, then keep it right across.
But if this is father's been having scrapples in the house.
Good.
So the rabbi doesn't do it, so what?
Yeah. So I want to just answer your question, which is a valid point. So let's, okay, we understand now why we asked here in Nusach Ashkenaz, where many of us don't put Rabbeinu Tam, that's where it comes from, because we consider ourselves, we're not up to that standard, and therefore I'm not going to put it. There is many Gdolim who did not, and who do not put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Fact. Many Gdolim didn't put on. It is interesting to note that many of the famous Gdolim that we consider the greatest of the century, such as the Chavetz Chaim, such as there is report, Moshe Feinstein, there are some that in the later years of their lives, the very last, how do we call it? The twilight, the last 10, 20 years of that, they actually started putting on Rabbeinu Tam, which I hear that. That's very much in line with what we're describing now. There's a Yidin that served the Rabbeinu Shlomo for 70, 80 years solid, leading, controlling themselves to the extreme, leading Klal Yisrael, the shining lights of the Doil. When they reached a certain stage, they felt, you know what, maybe I want to do that stringency as well as, you know, the rest of Torah Tikkun. Now we can hear that. So I can understand that Moshe Feinstein, in the last 20 years of his life, he put on Rabbeinu Tam, this old story about it, the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave it to him, his old story about it. I don't know the details, it's a fascinating story, how the Lubavitcher Rebbe tried to convince him to put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and eventually he did. So Chavetz Chaim perhaps also put on the last years of his life, Chazon Ish didn't. And in our world, it's taken, you know, many, even to the, I don't know, Abraham Kanievsky would be interesting to know I think the Stempler did put on at the end of his life. So there is such a concept. But how come, back to your question, how come that in the Chassidic world it is so incredibly common that every adult puts on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? So I think the simplest approach is what the Och Shulchan says. We learned that what does Mechzik Yuhura mean? It looks like what?
Overly
God-fearing. Now, when do you appear overly God-fearing?
If you stand out from others.
By definition, right? But if everybody's doing it, then you don't look God-fearing anymore. So it's like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is that self-fulfilling prophecy that they call it? It's like, it doesn't look God-fearing anymore. It doesn't look anymore like Mechzikura because everybody does it. So if you go to a shul and you're the only one to put Rabbeinu Tam, then obviously you're trying to make a point. You know, I am the Eshmaim of this Besmedesh, make no mistake, it's me. But if everybody else puts on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, you're not sticking out anymore. So it's not Mechzikura. So Och Shulchan, who by the way comes from the Litvish Besmedesh, you know, was Rav Novadik, it was Litvish, very much so. So Och Shulchan says, don't be concerned about the fact that everybody does Rabbeinu Tam tefillin now, and it's not Mechzikura, and it's not, and doesn't seem to be in line with the Shulchan Aruch, is it because everybody does it? So in Rome, do it like the Rome, but everybody does it. It's fine, sure, it's not a problem anymore. So I think the answer is the Chassidim also when in daven Litvish Shul they still put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, but I don't think it's a problem probably because we know that Chassidim put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So it's not Mechzikur because we have got the knowledge to know that they all do. So it's not Mechzikur anymore because of that. Perhaps. Interesting question. Is it Al Tifush? I don't know. Is there a problem of Al Tifush? So I suppose the answer is no Al Tifush because nowadays the way shuls are established, Minyonim are set up, is with that freedom of religion and the understanding that you do like you like and I do as I like and we'll be best friends anyway. So, pardon?
Rules.
Absolutely, yes. But it is a very fascinating concept. I do feel what we've got to realize from this is an underlying concept that chumas don't go stam. And it reminds me of what Dan Lopin once told me, and I checked it afterwards with the son of a... So Dan Lopin told me the name of Abhenich Padva, and I checked that also with the son of a Padva, who confirmed to me the statement, that he said that you don't take every chumrah. It's a fascinating concept if we think about this, that every chumrah that a person takes on himself is, by definition, also always going to be a kula somewhere else. Always going to be a kula somewhere else. You don't know where yet, but it's going to be a kula somewhere. So an example would be that you're taking that stringency. Who knows? Perhaps that's a kula in terms of your shana bayis. Or perhaps, if you're machmud, perhaps that's going to be a kula on your chinuch habonim. Or perhaps there's going to be a kula somewhere else, unexpected. So or maybe it's going to be a kula on your own self balance. Maybe your nerves are going to go flying out the window because of that. Who knows? So every chumrah comes with a cost, with a certain price tag. Sometimes it's obvious, often not. But every chumrah also has got a kula. And therefore, we understand well what this idea is of mechzer kiyura. Don't just take stringency stam. It's got a mahalach. It's got a seder. It's got a mahalach. It's got to be thought through properly. But of course, if a person is up, is ready for that, and up to the stage, of course, a person should grow in Torah Hashemayim, and of course, a person should reach levels, eventually grow further and further, in terms of staying static. Abayi Sai, tonight we learned this concept of Mechzer Kiyura. We learned that although yesterday we learned that Rabbeinu Tam is a great chumrah, nevertheless, today we learned don't just run for it, because you can only do it if a muchzik mafosim bechsidus. Mishnah Berurah says you got to be consistent across the halachah Shulchan Aruch. We discussed the concept of Mechzer Kiyura. We learned so much. The Shavus Yaakov and the Behetev told us that in a shul that nobody else does, you're doing it in front of the Rav, a person can be forced and coerced to take the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin off and do it elsewhere. You know. Okay, boys, that's it for this evening. I wish you a very pleasant evening.